In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This is very interesting. I'm used to looking straight ahead when I preach, and now I've got to be kind of all over the place. I am the Reverend Canon Susanna Cates. I am the canon for formation and vocations in our diocese, the Diocese of New Jersey. And what that means is I'm working with congregations and clergy and communities on formation, which means learning and growing in our knowledge and love of God. And then vocation is what we do with that knowledge and love of God once it starts to grow within us. So being called to more kinds of lay leadership or even ordained leadership in the church, I'm that person. So I'm really grateful to be here today. I led a lay ministry training for kind of the regional area yesterday over at Good Shepherd in Pittman. And I was really excited that it's this weekend that I get to come and preach with all of you, because this scripture passage, this gospel passage that we just heard is so, so dense. It's just one paragraph. It's not even a very long reading, but there are so many different ways to go. And I was thinking, gosh, if I was only preaching one service, I could only chase down one of those roads, but I get to be here for three services, because I was here last night, and I was here for our 8 o'clock service, and now I'm here at the 10:30, so I got to preach it in three different ways. So if you want to hear a different version, I guess you can go online, and if you're really that dedicated, you can watch the 5:30 service and the 8 o'clock service, but you're here for the 10:30 service, so this is the one that you get, unless you want to hear the other two. So let's boil down this story that we've just heard to its simplest elements, and it is pretty simple. There's a blind man named Bartimaeus. He knows who Jesus is. He cries out for Jesus' help. He's healed. And then he joins the crowd to follow Jesus on the way. Okay, that's pretty basic. Let's pick out some details. Bartimaeus is labeled as a beggar. He has no home. He has very few possessions, probably just the cloak that he is wearing. And he depends on the kindness of others just to survive. He cries out for that help. And that surrounding crowd actually tells him to quiet down. But Jesus hears him. And he tells that same crowd to call him over. When Bartimaeus comes to him, Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" He receives Bartimaeus' request, and then he heals Bartimaeus of his blindness, and then Bartimaeus joins the crowd and follows Jesus. So that opens up a few more possibilities with those details. Last night, the detail I focused on was Bartimaeus' cloak. At the 8 o'clock service, the detail that I focused on was Jesus' question to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Today, right now, the detail that I'm going to go with is the crowd. That crowd that shushes Bartimaeus at first and then encourages him once they hear Jesus' voice. So let's go over again the role of the crowd in this story. Here is a poor blind man crying out for something. He doesn't name specifically what he needs, but he's calling on Jesus for mercy. And the crowd sternly orders him to hush up. But he refuses. In fact, he yells even more loudly than before. And Jesus stops in his tracks, and here is where the really interesting thing happens. He doesn't go over to Bartimaeus, and he doesn't directly ask Bartimaeus to come to him. He commands the crowd of people to ask Bartimaeus to come closer. This same crowd, this same community that's been trying to suppress Bartimaeus' voice, immediately changes their direction. And they do what Jesus asks them to do. Three words. That's all it takes. Three words only from Jesus. Call him here. And the people obey, not grudgingly, not harshly, but all of a sudden they're joyful. They're encouraging. Take heart. Get up. You were calling on Jesus. Now he's calling on you. What incredible power Jesus holds in this encounter. Without explanation, without needing an extended teaching moment, Jesus holds the will of the crowd in his hand. And Jesus' brand of leadership is made known to them and to us in those three words, call him here. If this was an ordinary human leader, perhaps a human leader with great powers of charisma, a human leader with great power to sway the actions of a large crowd, if this was a human leader who wanted things to go his way and not God's way, how different it might have been. A human leader who sought power for himself rather than healing and restoration for all people might very well have assessed the current conditions. Here is one, just one, poor, blind man, all alone, already dismissed by the crowd, that big crowd, acclaiming Jesus and following him anywhere he chooses to lead them. One big crowd that's ready to silence this one lone person and leave him behind. A human leader seeking power for himself will very often use that momentum to keep making things worse, not better, to use the will of that crowd rather than God's will. And it would have been easy, so easy, for Jesus to command them to do what they were already doing, to amplify it, to create the conditions for a deeper rejection. But Jesus is not that leader. Jesus will never be the one who seeks his own gain before serving and healing others, even if that other is someone that the crowd, that we, would turn away. So in this healing story of Bartimaeus, Jesus actually heals the crowd first. From sternly ordering this man to be quiet, those three words that Jesus commands changes the entire group dynamic. They will listen to him. And the words that he gives are words of compassion, inclusion, recognizing our neighbor when we refuse to do that on our own. Call him here. And that crowd receives divine healing just as Bartimaeus is about to receive it for himself. A single person healed, a crowd healed, and then an entire community of people, and then many of these different communities and towns and villages and crowds all over the land of Israel. Entire cultures healed and transformed after Christ's resurrection and the work of the disciples. Our whole world then on that path to healing and transformation. And 2,000 years later, we stand or sit in Glassboro, New Jersey, in the Episcopal Church, 2,000 years later, as both crowd and Bartimaeus, praying for our own healing and transformation. When we see ourselves as that crowd, pushing towards the figure of Jesus and away from the figure of Bartimaeus, what do we expect Jesus to command us to do? Leave people behind? Turn on our neighbors who expect and need something else from the Son of God? Ignore people's loud pleas for grace and mercy? No. Jesus will never ask us to serve ourselves first. Jesus will, in fact, work on us first so that we can see God's grace at work in those people that we'd least expect and follow God's command to show some grace of our own. In our moments of rejection, in our desires to shut down the cries of the other, Jesus holds such great power. And it is his voice that we should seek when the will of the crowd seems to be going in a particular direction, especially when that direction takes us away from the needs of others. Call him here. Call her here. Call them here, in front of us, in front of Jesus. To ignore that voice that brings us together in God, to ignore that voice that freely gives such healing and transformation, is to pay more attention to our own voices, to human voices, than to God's voice. Whose voice have we decided to hear? Our own? The crowd's? Another human leader? Or do we make the choice to hear Jesus? Do we make the choice to be healed so that others may be healed? Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, help us to make the right choice.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.